Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that when we sing Jesus, you're here. We know that it's the same as when Paul said, Jesus called you by name, knowing, as Brother Branham said, the same pillar of fire that came to Paul to bring the word is here, revealing it and has been. And as Paul said, it's now face to face, and it is in reality. Perfection has come standing before the tree of life and waiting to go into the millennium, the further sanctification, the further worship, the further revelation of those things that have been reserved to us. We are now in their presence and they in full view of us by revelation, waiting to be entered into, knowing that the revelation has been given us in order that we can enter into it all. May we be very encouraged this morning with that, Lord, and put away all negative thinking, any doubts whatsoever. Realize we've come to perfect faith. Stand therein, Lord, until it has its perfect way. And there comes forth then the resurrection, the immortality, the rapture, the wedding supper, and the coming back, Lord, to start anew in this kingdom which you have already put up and prepared for us, Lord, in essential, in your own essential way, Lord, and will one day bring it forth into the manifestation which we're looking for. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 14 of leadership, and as we continue our studies, I find that I cannot help but believe that Brother Branham preached every message as though it could be his last sermon, and not just something to edify or as fitting to the occasion as when it was a breakfast to the full gospel businessmen, to simply address them on the principle of going there for a breakfast and then talking would be no more different from him going to Europe when he was commanded not to go, just to speak a couple of times. And the angel Lord told him, direct from God, that he could not go unless it was actually a series of meetings. He had better remain at home. So there's no doubt in my mind that this message here was simply more than one that befitted the occasion, or he was doing somebody a favor, or simply wanted a place to preach. It is also certain that he knew his days were numbered. He had spoken of that to people. He'd even been made a mistake thinking he would be shot. Evidently, in a vision, he saw that his throat was opened as with a bullet wound, but it was a tracheotomy. And here it is, his last exhortation given to a full gospel businessmen's meeting, wherein the people could easily accept the works, but not the word. In fact, it was coming to the place where now the works were not accepted, because I think many people who came on the principle of wishing to have Brother Branham discern, we're now finding that their own faith had to make the gift of healing operate, and they were hoping that through discernment, which was really an encouragement to them, would go past the fact of encouragement, but now be the implementation of their healing, even as when Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, you are healed. But it wasn't so, and they would become very tired by his lengthy dissertations, and very tired of the fact that so many people, even though they were called, never received healing. Yet it's strange in Lima, when we had him there in 1957, that we don't know of one person who was called up or was tremendously healed, and many people were healed sitting in their seats, not having been called out. There were tremendous things that were done because we knew what to do, which was to cause the gift of healing to operate by teaching faith and bringing the people together to the end that this might be received. And you know, when you treat God hit and miss, he will treat you hit and miss. The Bible distinctly says that he that lightly, looks at the Lord, lightly countenance him, so God will lightly countenance that person. There's so many scriptures that tell you there is a correct way, even mechanically, there is a wrong way. But the people were getting more and more discouraged with Brother Branham until the only opening he had, because he would not join himself with one particular church and make them the great thing or one organization. It was this in-between group at one time called non-denominational, called interdenominational, because they embraced everybody. But then they took the Trinitarian aspect and contrary to their own doctrine, which was anybody full of the Holy Ghost spoke in tongues, they immediately put out the oneness people by declaring there was a Trinity. So they did in a measure accept Brother Branham according to work and discernment, but as David Lindsay, and I think it was Gordon Lindsay, David Duplessis here in Ohio, back in the Middletown, that Chautauqua area, said, all right, William Branham is fine to believe when he's discerning and praying, but when it comes to the Word, don't you believe him because he's doctrinally off. This is the stupidest thing under God's creation. But the point is, it is not simply stupid, so listen to me. It is not simply stupid so that you and I can make such a statement and simply walk off casually. You will go before the white throne and you will go to hell. Now think it over. There's no blood for you. So what are you going to do? You have your own little song and dance? Now let's look at the picture. I'm not an evangelist, I'm a teacher. I'm not going to have an altar call. It's up to you to do what you want. They did what they wanted. The judgment prophet, where everything burns sometime after he's finished, and we have a very casual attitude, as though it really didn't matter. Yet the Roman Catholic Church could say, just an ordinary priest concerning a false, wicked sign by the enemy concerning Fatima. Why don't you shut up and sit down? God wants to talk to you. The miracle itself is nothing. It's what God wants to tell you and deal with you. I wonder what would have happened if Brother Branham had gone to the Catholic Church. Is this why he said concerning Jackie Kennedy, with her waterhead, her leading America, her husband a Roman Catholic, the final insult and blow to any light in America, or America being any light whatsoever except to build an image to the beast? And he said perhaps she'd have done different if she'd heard this message. Perhaps she would have. She didn't hear it to harden her heart, but the Pentecostal women sat there with their husbands, their fickle little gigolo husbands, let their wives run rampant. And they could not countenance true doctrine. Where are they today? Do you answer your question? Is your love greater than God's love? Is your desire greater than God's desire? Is mine? I want to tell you one thing. You lightly respect God, He'll lightly respect you. In fact, He won't respect you or me either. There's only one thing that God can respect, and that's His own Godism, which cannot be defined in any way except by words. And here it is. The last exhortation given in the full gospel of businessmen's meaning where in the people could easily accept the works but not the word. Also we know that this message is the Omega message wherein God Himself is confronting us in human flesh. As when He confronted the rich young ruler and offered to lead him to eternal life. Now, that's up for grabs. What I mean is this, take it or leave it. Whoever heard of it? Why, God in these last days has spoken in Son Jesus Christ, don't talk to me about anybody else. Here was Elohim, Messiah, prophet himself, and personally, repeat, personally, standing there and offering this businessman eternal life himself And this businessman denied God, and it is done again, and it was done again that very night, and is still being done again, even as we might read over here in 2 Peter. Now remember, 2 Peter is an end time. Both Peters are end time books on the second coming. But 2 Peter is very judgmental. But there were false prophets, 2 Peter 1, 2nd chapter, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you. Now this is the end time. And you notice the false prophets are dwindling. You don't see them. Where are the Osbournes? Where are the Roberts? Where's hardly anybody? Oh, you have a few local men like Swaggart, and the rest of them expose themselves, and they've been exposing themselves, all right, not just spiritually, but physically. They're so corrupt and rotten. Oh, how the people love them. You know, like pastor, like people, all alike. False teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Privately. Privately. They got their own understanding. They don't have any authority. There's no vindication. There's nothing but a mouth which is a sepulcher. They're bringing damnable heresies. Heresies, that's which against the truth, and will be condemned, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring unto themselves swift destruction. Now, how could that be amongst people that believe in blood washing? That takes in all the Catholics. This is not Muslims. This is not your Taoist, your Buddhist, Muhammad, the rest of them. This is about Christians. They're denying the present one. That's what they're doing. They're denying. And he's the one that bought them. They deny even Jesus upon the throne. They don't know where he is. To think that he's not mediator and intercessor and in communion with the Father is something so abysmal as to not only reject but to be horrified and stand in awe. Yes, stand in awe. Speechless. That those people who say such things, as they even have anything to do with God. Do you realize this message with the greatest light has the greatest darkness? Where is the Lamb? He's on the throne. And through the Father has offered the invitation, overcome. Get ready. How do you get ready? How many remember what we read and went over just recently? How do you get ready? You get ready in the negative by never ever saying what you came out of, having a thing to do with it, your mind a part of it, but now only that which is, as Brother Branham said, say what I say. And if you're not doing that, you're not getting ready. Oh, Brother Bale, I'm looking for some great mystery. Couldn't you call a prayer line and lay hands? Well, I don't think that would do anything except condemn you and what you're doing. Doesn't come that way. These teachers go out there. They don't have a bit of vindication. The only teachers that do have any vindication are those that say what the prophet said and take it right through the Bible. Bring it together for you. Denying the Lord that bought them. positively deny him. Yet all this time saying, oh, he bought me. I love him. I believe in the shed blood. Look at this, look at that. You people have no spirit, oh my, my. Because you're not jump-bumping down yelling, you're criticized. I challenge any man living to come into this church and you sit here and see if he says everything according to this word, but you catch it. You'd be so busy jumping up and down you wouldn't catch anything except what? Your neighbor breathing on you and get intestinal flu like he's got, that's hardly worth it. I'm sarcastic on purpose. You're better listening and keeping your mouth shut until you know what to say. Because by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. And you're not justified by what I ask you to say. And you're not condemned by what I tell you not to say. You're condemned on your own by what you say as that inner person, which you don't say. Or you're justified. Is that sufficiency clear? No, I don't mean you go dead on me. You're not saying in or something, hey? But I'm going to tell you, I can tell by looking at you, you're not dead. I can tell when the men are concentrating in the women. You're not fooling me one little bit. And I can tell when the spirit begins to lift. And it's just not the way it should be. You see, my brother, my sister, I am not depending on you. I cannot be dependent on you. The sheep cannot be dependent on. The sheep must depend on the pastor or the one that's helping them. Now, if you don't want to eat, and some didn't, they just go elsewhere. That's fine. And I'm especially glad that you're here this morning. I would add to that, but just take it the way it is said. Now, the Bible said it's going to bring upon them swift destruction. Are they suddenly going to be judged in their seats and running around and killed by a car? Oh, no, no, he's talking about the destruction of the great tribulation which will hit. And then the burning of the earth. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now watch, evil is worshiping in vain, worshiping without credentials, going where you have no business to go, like Cain, and still trying to do it. You want to hold your finger there. If you do, it might be wise to go to 2 Thessalonians. The second chapter, the ninth verse, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness completely deceives them. What is part of that unrighteousness this morning? It is that tongues are the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And you can talk with God and you know you hear from God and you feel that you've got something from God. And you don't take the guidebook. And yet you go to the post office and you put a 29 cent on a letter to go to Canada. They'll say, just a minute, you owe 11 cents more. Well, you try to send it to Europe, they say 21 cents more. You can't even send a letter in a stupid post office. And some little stupid greeting. Some little stupid letter trying to finesse them, maybe. And how you think you're going to come before God in unrighteousness? With the filthy act of worship, which means bypassing the sacrifice which is Christ, when there's only one way to him, which is by the word. How are you going to do it? I like to ask my brethren these questions. Now they say, I say, Brother Vail doesn't preach pastoral sermons. You're getting a pastoral sermon this morning. And very doctrinaire. Cain is abounding. And the people who fuss at Cain and call him that great deceiver and one who killed Abel, the type of Christ, the righteous Abel, the blood calling from the ground, they're doing the same thing right now, trampling underfoot the blood of the covenant. And it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, a worship that is razor blade close to reality, because they didn't receive the vindicated message which alone could point them to the truth. Now they worship in a lie and in an error. Now don't say this is wrong, this is right. Or do me a favor. And everybody that hears my voice on tape, spit on this Bible, rip it up. At least have the guts to defy God openly in sin. And to pretend you're an obedient little sheep under the submission and love and presence of Christ in worship. You hear what I said? Well, Brother Bill, you ain't got no love. No, I ain't got no love, but I got guts. And I got a sanctified spirit. And a mind that looks at the Word the way it's written, doesn't try to figure it out to get around it. Well, don't think I wouldn't like to. But there's no percentage in it. This is where your suffering comes. This is where your denying comes. This is where the battle comes. If you think there's a battle over fornication and adultery, oh, how wrong you are. That's nothing compared to this, because honest to God with repentant heart, you can be forgiven for your adulteries and your fornication, but you can't be forgiven for this, because this is rebellion against God. And as the scripture said, if a man sin against a man, and that's a man even raping or these other things going on, the judge can judge you. But if you sin against God, who will plead for you? I want to know some answers. I've got all mine through vindication of a prophet. I mean, anything I thought I had. I wouldn't even put cream and sugar on and try to feed it to my dog. I'm talking about all those sensations and things. Forget it. Now watch. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They couldn't love it. They hated it. Remember Jesus said, if I had not done the works of another man, did they not sin? But now they both hated both me and they both hated me and my Father. If I hadn't done the works. Yet those same people, they even deny divine healing in the Church of Christ, say, oh, but you're wrong. I love God. And they can put on an act that'll make you cry, how sweet and how wonderful, and begin to say, God, do I have anything? And the voice should come back, but it will not come back, and say, you have the Word. Let all things conform around the Word. Because if it doesn't conform around the Word, then it is valueless. And for this, God will send them strong delusion. Strong delusion. They'll be sweeter than ever. They'll be nicer than ever. There'll be more healings, more tongues, more interpretation, more prophecy, more everything than ever. More everything. You see, I have no record that the Holy Spirit anointing leaves the world, just the Holy Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. But what did Paul say? We're bound to give thanks always to God for your brethren, beloved. Now, who are beloved to the Lord? The elect. Because God hath from the beginning, that's right in Jesus, chosen you to salvation. You're going to come through this period unscathed. Through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. There is no such thing as the Spirit of God sanctifying you outside of truth. Because whatever sanctifying He does is simply an act of God on His part to put you a place where the process can now begin in earnest in the individuals by the Word. And you can go to the beginning, and there you see that God had two people set aside, Cain and Abel. One refused the Word completely. The other took the Word completely. One was completely sanctified through the processes of the Spirit and the truth, which was believed. The other was simply sanctified by the Spirit, the same as Mr. Pharaoh was raised up by God. He did his job all right. A lot of people doing the same thing. But they're a million miles off the Word, though they greatly claim to be in that Word. They'll follow their ways, and they'll be made merchandise of. First of all, they'll give you, milk you by the Roberts and the Swaggerts and the rest of them. Then the Antichrist will milk you, and the devil. I just wonder if the devil's going to be laughing when he gets his destruction, because he laughs at the people whom he has destroyed. It's a little thought, isn't it? Just let your mind go to the white throne, the lake of fire. What is it like? Well, these are things here we look at. So here, Brother Branham is bringing us the Omega of the Alpha of this rich young businessman to all these businessmen and incidentally all the others. And here, as in that day, was Jehovah Elohim, Messiah, prophet himself personally, very personally, standing there and offering this businessman eternal life himself. And he and they denied God. And what happens? It happens as in Hebrews 6, they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and they end up crucified. Now, as Israel came up through its seven church years, ages, Brother Branham said one day he would show it to us. He never did. Israel had seven church ages. And they came up to God for God's headship, even the hour of Messiah. So today the Gentile church has come through seven church ages, and headship is here. That is a categorical fact. It is believed more widespread than it used to be, but it is still entirely and more dogmatically in its entirety disbelieved in its truth. They don't have a clue to it. The headship is here according to the full revelation as described in Ephesians 1, 17 to 18, where the Spirit comes into the church to let the church know the hour in which it is living and the deep revealed secrets of Almighty God. This will bring it through the ministries that have come forth in flesh because of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself dying, rising, going back to God, sending forth the Holy Spirit, because I will pray the Father, He will give you the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that Jesus had, that Spirit coming back. In a ministry, and ministering to the people with their own ministries, bringing them finally to a place where they cannot be shaken. The old song says, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Brother Branham said that was today. Little roots and little branches of the tree of life. No doubt. Now, what will the people do? The Gentiles will do as a rich young ruler. They will refuse the person, all the while offering the opposite. They'll refuse the person, see, all the while offering, giving back the opposite, because word equal works. That's what they don't understand. Word equal works, and works equal word. Now, in our case, we had word that equal works, and the word through works went plumb down the drain. So now we have to go to where the real work is, Deuteronomy 18. You follow what I'm saying? Now, when you get word, Deuteronomy 18, thus saith the Lord, works equal word, because the word cannot come outside of those works. But you get works, without that revealed word, you will come into every single thing of every sign and wonder, oh yeah, and be condemned. Depart from me, I never knew you. And that's going to take in some beautiful, wonderful, fine people. As far as the world's concerned, gentle, sweet, and everything else, because they're the ones that couldn't stand Brother Branham's terrible way of preaching. So, all right, they will refuse the person, all the while offering the opposite to what they should offer back to God. Because they started with the Word and the second thousand century, and had gone off a target from the God and Son and Word. And yet the signs, all this came back, even with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the true seed. And it didn't do it. See? So if you're going to get works out of the Word, which is perverted, you are weak and be condemned at the white throne. But now, if the works which come out of the Word, which come out of vindication, now you're on target. Now, how much are you seeing of works coming out of the Word? The age is over. Not that there can't be some. Let's open a room at the back. But I want one of you to pray and fast until you have the gift of discernment, because you cannot even be in that room unless somebody's standing there with the gift of discernment. Now you've got to have qualified prophets who can judge. I'm going to be honest with you. I may be remiss in a lot of things, but I'm just going to stick with this word. You have all the gifts you want. I'm not against them. I just don't have them. And at this point, until I'm thoroughly established in the Word and know, I want them. Because evidently there's a plethora of it all out here. Now, just to get this straight, we'll go back to the Alpha of the book of Mark. I could have taken a lot more time on Peter, but I thought just good to close it off. Mark 10, 17 to 23. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now watch Jesus' correction. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, nor kill, nor steal, nor bear false, nor defraud, nor honor thy father." And he said, "Master, I've observed these from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, and why shouldn't he? This kid, you see, was either he was an Israelite according to his birth, after the flesh. But you know, you can turn down God flat like Paul. Paul brought this on the 9th chapter of Romans. What happened to this kid? Let's go to Romans, the 9th chapter. Let's begin to see what this boy had. If you want to know the truth, and Jesus loved him. And the point is, why would he not? In verse 4, he said, "My kinsmen after my flesh, my brethren, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, and whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah has to come." And they've got God over the whole thing. Well, sure he loved him. I've loved people too and wanted the best. It didn't do one thing. They said, tell you what you do, you lack just one thing. Go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Now there's how to lay up treasure in heaven. That's axiomatic, that's a commandment. And come take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad of that saying, and he went away grieved because he had many possessions. And Jesus looked around about his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? Now here's the full gossip businessmen telling you how rich they are and how great they are, and they're going to win the world to Christ. I know how they do it. They send out letters asking poor little suckers like me for money, and I throw in the garbage tin. Oh, I've been all through their tripe. I think I'd sooner clean a cow barn than clean up after them. And I'm not laughing or making a joke. I'm just telling you the truth. Hogs or anything else. Forget it. It's a program of calculated deceit. How can they sit there and turn down profit? How can they sit down and turn God manifest in human flesh? Oh, that's a good one right there. God manifest in human flesh. Ooh, wow, 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 wow. Yet you're supposed to be the body of Christ. That's different. Oh, I know, because you're lovely and sweet and wonderful. Why don't you crawl under a rock? Now, that's not you personally. That's to any spirit here that doesn't catch what I'm saying, or any spirit on hears the tapes. It's blistering, but it's true. That's the most calculated, filthy rebellion against God that only Satan could put in a person's heart. There you are. How hardly they that have riches enter the kingdom of God. This type of astonishment and saying, my, that's terrible. Children, how hard is them that trust in riches, he said. Now, that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Well, said, now just a minute, we didn't trust in riches, we're trusting in God. And why do you flaunt your riches? You don't want to, who is greatest of all? He's a servant to all. Not the guy that rises up and says, I'm going to run the show. I'm going to lead the parade. That's organization. That's hellfire. Twice damned. Second death. Let's read Revelation 3. Here's your Omega. These things says the Amen, the winder-upper, the God of truth, the faithful and true witness through seven church ages. The very one in whom God began to form himself in human flesh. I know thy works, they're neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. Oh boy. You're just lukewarm, you make me vomit. Now listen to what you're saying. I'm rich, increased with goods, I don't need a thing. Young man said, I don't need a thing, I've got it all. Jesus said, the very thing that you say you got it all, which is financial progress and materiality, tells me, get rid of it, you ain't got nothing. And on the stormy seas of life, you've got an anvil of iron hanging around your neck instead of a life float. You don't know. You're wretched. When it comes to the thing, kingdom of God, laying up that treasure, you're a person standing there begging. Begging for the treasures that you never laid up. When you had the chance with your nickels and your dimes and your giving and helping and showing mercy and writing nice letters and thinking of other people. Some of you still sit here and you're still thinking, gimme, gimme. Oh, if I could only have. Oh, gimme, gimme. I've got news for you. I don't want to be here when trouble really starts and see what's going to happen. Because some of you still haven't caught it. Why are you looking for something when you've already got something to give and to work with? I've watched it here over the years. And I've seen a lot of failing over the years. You need better peripheral vision and up and down to look around. Is there something I could do? Is there something I can help? When you get my age, all you can do is get on the phone and maybe talk a little bit or give people some money. I can't do much anymore. But I'm still obligated, if I can do anything at all, to do it. I can still give a crust of bread. I can still give encouragement. Why do you think I'm telling each of your young kids, 15, 16, I will pay, yes, Caleb, I will pay Jennifer. Yes, the money's yours tomorrow if you want that aptitude test. Now, you can't present good works to God and say, Lord, this is going to do outside the revelation. I'm talking to revelation people. I'm talking very desperately to revelation people. And he said, you don't know that you're a beggar. You talk about treasure laid up in heaven. You talk about what here? You're a beggar. Tin cup and selling pencils. Are we a tin cup pencil selling bunch of people? I'm preaching hard. I don't mean to be hard as though nobody here, myself included, is worth nothing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a lot more to just saying, I know, I see. We had a prophet. If we don't follow the prophet. I told you one of the most embarrassing experiences of my life. In 1955 in Indiana, there was a man lying in a car, hotter than a firecracker, couldn't even get in the building, Cato Tabernacle, and he wanted prayer. Nobody paid any attention. One day, finally, a person said, Brother Vail, this man can't come in. I guess it was a brother or sister or somebody. He said, but he's out here in the car, hot and tired, and he simply can't get in the building. Do you think Brother Branham would come and pray? I said, are you kidding? Most assuredly, William Branham will come and pray for him. And William Branham came and paid for that man, prayed for him, and out of his pocket he pulled a $20 bill. Oh, merciful God in heaven. I could have given him the $20 bill. Blind as a bat. Pray for him, I could have done that too, but not like William Branham. And you know, if the man got healed, I hope he did, but if he didn't, Brother Branham started $20 rolling right toward heaven. Yeah, yeah. I was embarrassed. I counsel thee to buy me gold. Not the stuff you dig out of the ground that's going to be worth $1,000 to $10,000 an ounce when the church takes over. But the gold tried in the fire. What is it that gets tried in the fire? Your faith. And what is your faith? The true faith is a revelation of the Word, and it's the perfect faith of this hour, so it's going to take the forces of hell. The most intensive and even least intensive will come against us for this revelation. And what is the revelation? He's here! The same one in the pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here, revealing it. The same one that went with Moses to Israel, manifested by signs and wonders, is here. Had his picture not taken there, but authenticated by historians right on the wall. There it is. The same rock, same cloud, Jehovah Elohim. None else but God. The same one that came down in the Garden of Eden to speak to his erring children. Who were the progenitors? The same one now came down to talk to the last generation. The last seed. He's come down that we may have gold tried in the fire. That we may have his word that's come up 2,000 solid years and they couldn't do a thing about it, twisting and turning as much as they might try. they couldn't do it and hear it now in its final stage of perfection and consummation, which means we are in the harvest, which means we are the harvest. As Brother Branham said, we are Easter. With it is the white raiment. I'm here to dress a bride with the pure word of God. How do you get ready? Put it on. Don't ever say anything about the other anymore. No more shame of your nakedness. John prayed we wouldn't be ashamed and naked at that time. We aren't. We've got the true eye salve. What's the true eye salve? Not just an anointing, a derivative. We don't have any more light that bounces off the wall, and we're looking at the light that bounced off the wall. We're looking straight at the light, and that light is going right into us via word. So that now we are light. We are not just resurrection. We are light. Now, you and I can't get dressed any other way but by saying that. We can go back to the old world and they can, well, I'm working on it. I'm a hope, so I'm a maybe. I'm believing. Bless God, I'll get there. And you hit them with the word. They're so intolerant. They're so puffed up with pride. They're so rotten, they cut your eyes out. Oh, but they got it. What you and I have, we just shrug our shoulders and pass on. They don't want it, they don't want it. Don't try to convince them. Forget it. You bulldoze them. That's all you got. You got to bulldoze one. Now he says, many as I love. Now who does he love? At this time, it's the very elect. I rebuke and I chase it. In other words, I'm here to put you straight on the word. Because that's where you got off. I'm here to put you straight on Godhead. Remember, Godhead is the... And remember, it was under the seventh seal that the greatest single revelation was the oneness of the Godhead. So that means Jesus only and all the rest don't have a prayer unless they turn around and find out what the truth is. Well, Brother Dale, you know, before Brother Branham preached the seven seals, you know, we understood. Yeah, you did. Oh, boy, there was another liar hit the dust. It wasn't that oneness of the Godhead wasn't correct. It was as pure as the single solitary fact there is one God, period. But God and His Son aren't like my finger. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, Brother Branham, as a vindicated prophet, could never preach just to be saying something. He himself said that. We know his messages were vindicated, and therefore, thus saith the Lord. With this in mind, we noticed he called this period of time of the very presence of God as the Word Age, and also said the Mind Age, wherein once you get past, you get to the eye, nothing is moving. So if nothing is moving past the eye, and the neck is not part of the body, it's that flange, and there's only one joint I know of that you can actually use, you've got muscles controlling your eyes and things, that's the jawbone. And the tongue's in there. So when the head came down, he jawboned us and he tongued us. Kind of a crude expression, but it's true. The jawboning was by thus saith the Lord. So he sat down, shut up. Now notice, the last moving part is the eye. That's not a joint. Controlled by muscles. Now, the eye goes to the mind, same like the ear ball, the eyeball, the ear ball. Never mind this, forget it. Forget it. You're dealing with two things, eye and ear. That's in the head. Eye is not down here. Ear is not down here. Mouth is not down here. So be careful, little mouth, how you spout. For a lot of rotten lies are coming out. See? But not from God. Come here, to your heart comes out truth. Now what I'm trying to show you is this. The last moving part is the eye. And the eye is fully epitomized in the prophet, as is the mouth. Now the prophet is gone. I want to ask you a question. If the last moving part is the eye that sees, and the mouth is the last moving part that ejects the words, because that's all it is ejection, can you honestly then look for something else? The answer is no. But the full gospel businessman looked to a dead man named Dr. Price for something. Evidently, he said the demons and some other people. And I can show you where Dr. Price went off on the Word of God. I knew even before Brother Branham came on the scene that Dr. Price was off on the Word of God, because he, like Dr. Kenyon, preached a sermon on God and his family. I knew both were wrong. How did I know? Because, you see, I didn't belong to their age. I belong to this age. I'm a different person. I couldn't take what they were teaching. No way. Now, every headship is here then, according to Ephesians 1:17, and brings us up to Ephesians 4:16 to about 19. And every one of us must come to grips with Revelation 10:1-7, which is also Acts 3:19-26, which is also 1 Thessalonians 4:16, with all its ramifications through the Scripture, which tell you exactly who came down and who is what doing to whom. And the consequences. Vindication all proves this. Now, I don't need to preach a whole sermon on this. Someone can come behind me and take every one of these scriptures and preach a whole sermon. You don't need it, if you've been listening at all. If you haven't, then get the tapes and get over it. Vindication proves it. And by the grace of God, we've had the opportunity to accept God in His Word. Not just God, but God according to His Word. And that alone is true Word. You follow me? We don't just accept God. We accept God according to His vindicated Word. That's why Jesus only is wrong. That's why only under the seventh seal could Brother Branham bring it out. There is no way to accept one. That's accept God, reject the Word. Accept the Word, reject God. You say, how can you reject God and accept the Word? Because this is a tremendous book when it comes to philosophy and psychology and psychiatry. You just live that. You got a success story right now. There is no way to accept just one, for God is the Word, as enunciated by Jesus Christ Himself, who knew that He was going to die and shed His blood, and He knew what they would do about the blood. They would take the blood, but not the Word. So He said, for God sent not His Son into the world, that's God loved the world and gave Him, to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So therefore, what God did is literally up to a choice. Now, and up to the choice, again, if it's in the affirmative to receive Him, there's something contingent to the choice. Yeah? Let's look at it. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil, for everyone that doeth evil. Now this is actually worshiping, because we're talking about God. We're talking about the Messiah role. We're talking about Jesus dying. We're talking about accepting Him. We're talking about this. And the two people make a choice, Cain and Abel. And they both knew the living God, but one knew Him away, the other didn't. They both had the Word, but one had it the way another didn't. Yeah. See? Now, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. In other words, once you start from that point on, you're not afraid. Let's go on. I used to misunderstand Brother Branham so thoroughly, told you many times, I'd come to a sermon and I'd back off. I'd just stricken with terror. And say, hold it. Would you sooner hit it here or hit it over there? You're not in control. You're being controlled. And I've heard those same sermons sitting in a church, full of a church full of people, and such darkness upon my soul that I could have screamed and ran out of the building screaming. Yeah. You hear what I said? It's on tape. And don't take it off. Don't take it off. Darkness. Until I said, this is not the way it should be. I'm missing something. And I got alone and read it. And it wasn't what I heard with these stinking, loused up, uncircumcised, cruddy, manure-filled ears from dogmas and creeds and experience. And a mind corroded. When the mind turned to God, the veil was lifted, and I found it wasn't that way at all. If you want to breathe freely, take off your straitjacket. No one can escape this, what I'm talking about, as it says in Acts 3 and 23, which Brother Branham brought out in this very message and showed that I have preached this for years 100% with the prophet, not remembering he said it. I was there when he said it. For it says here, it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. That's Malachi, the 4th chapter. All burnt over. No foolish virgin. No serpent seed. Nobody to come back like Noah with sex and rebuild the earth with sex. Nope. By the resurrection. Yes, sir. And notice in a particular way, John the Baptist put it in the book of, of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, 1 to 12. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That was John's testimony. He's a Bible boy. He's in the Bible. He's the Word of God made manifest in human flesh. Oh, yes. The same John had raiment of camel's hair and leather girdled about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Well, if you roast them and put them in honey, I guess they're pretty good. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Sadducees and Pharisees, now he didn't bawl these other guys out. He bawled these big shots that were calling the shots. Yeah, we'll have you, Brother Branham, for our meeting, but you know we're not going to believe that you're a drawing card. Yeah. Finally, God, he wasn't a drawing card. Well, Carl Williams had enough weight to keep bringing him in, but no place else. There you are again, Jesus. No place in the motel, but put him in a barn on a manure heap. Yeah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yes, my own kind of Jesus, the one of my imagination. That's the kind I love. But don't tell the word. Don't tell us the word. It makes me very uneasy and angry too, so I knew it. If you start telling the word, yeah. Oh, the devil loves that. Man, he hangs his big teeth out there. He just loves that. The Sadducees, they came to John's baptism, and John said, "Oh, generation of vipers." Now, how in the name of common sense can they be vipers if their mammy and pappy weren't vipers? Well, never mind the mammy. Just talk about the daddy. Because the life is in the daddy. You are your father, the devil. And the works of your father do. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who even mentioned anything for you to stick your nose in here? You don't belong here. You're not a pirate. What are you doing here? These boys are okay. Oh, something got stirred up, eh? Now you're coming to find out. Now what are you going to do when you find out? Well, said they, Brother Branham's a real man. You can believe him when he discerns. Boy, that transcendition when it comes to the word, you listen to us. So now if the devil can control people under the anointing like Judas, and they can produce gifts, they're going to say, come on. There's more of us, boy. We got it. That guy just got too big for his britches. Him, Elijah. Well, don't you think there's going to be a real one sometime? Oh, yeah, but when he comes, he'll be one of us. Their motto is not Hebrews 13 and 8. It's the old Latin motto, Excelsior, 100 and upward. Yeah. And you clothe yourselves in shining knight armor and take a big sword and lop poor people's heads off. Excelsior. You know what Excelsior really is? Excelsior is fine wood shavings. You didn't know that, did you? That's another name for Excelsior. Fine wood shavings, you can pack anything in it. Oh, brother, what they pack in it. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. What's the fruit meet for repentance? Honestly come and questioning and say, are we right here? Are we right there? Is this the way to do it? Brother Branham actually opened himself time after time for questions. Wonderful. That's the Spirit of God. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, and I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. He wasn't going to do that, of course, except through the long process. Now watch. Now let's listen carefully. See if you can catch something here. And I'll help you catch it. And now the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Interpolation. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I ask you a question. Verse 10, verse 12. The interpolation is simply what is said in those two verses of 10 and 12. The judge will be there in 10, and he's going to do it. Now, I want to ask you a question. From the words that I emphasized, and what the judge is going to do, is there any difference between verse 10 and verse 12? Now look at it. We're going to take an axe. We're going to cut down the trees. All those that don't have the right fruit, we're going to burn. Now we're going to take a combine and cut down the wheat and all the tares and chaff. And we're going to put the wheat in the barn. And then we're going to burn up the chaff. Now, you've been hearing me preach for years and years. You've been hearing Brother Branham's messages. I've showed you time after time how God says things by switching phraseology. What does this mean to you? Well, I'm not going to embarrass you, and I'm not going to ask for any answers, so I'll explain it to you. Number one, a tree grows over the centuries. We have sequoia trees that I think are 1,300 years old. We have trees that are ginkgo trees, they say, are 4,000 years old. We have trees then that started in the first age. Right? The first time the gospel was preached started, right? And those trees have come up. All organization, every single thing is going to be chopped down except the bride tree that gets a second wind, right? Now you go to the wheat and the tares. Is it not true that the gospel was re-sowed under William Branham? All right, there's your chaff and there's your tares. Now, they were spoken of way back yonder, but they turned from Matthew 13 into a tree. And that tree was the mustard seed tree, which is the least of all, grew into a tree that covered the earth, and the foul birds of the air came. Chop it down and burn it up. Ain't good for nothing. But the bride tree came up alongside of it. And it was all that did. Remember what killed it? The four bugs? Yep. We went through that. Spoken word's original seed. Now we're here where it's no longer a tree. You don't have time for it. It's a seed sown that brings forth a wheat crop and brings forth a tare crop. The flashing red lights of destruction. I hear the noise of the combine. What Brother Branham sown is coming into a fast harvest. The wheat will be gathered in the garner, separated from the chaff. That is done by what? Matthew 24, the Word. But ere the chaff is burned, the wheat is separated in Luke 17 by the rapture. Now you can see that something at the end time happens to bring on a quick harvest. Where the reaper overtakes the sower. Where the wheat is sown in the dark, hot desert sun, as it were. With plenteous rain. Bringing forth a virgin crop. Very few. But they'll be there. This will bring about the end of time as we know it. So this is Malachi 4, as we saw in Scripture. Thus at this end time there is a sowing of the word and a harvest. And it has to be identical to the original, or forget it. And if it is the original, then there is an espousal. To the bridegroom. The definitive marriage. The definitive invisible union. Remember, that was preached in 1965, just before Brother Branham preached his last few series over in California. So we have a choice today, said Brother Branham. We can be led by God Himself. Where's the Lamb? He never said he would lead you. He's the Lamb. When he said, I am the good shepherd, that was God, the good shepherd. He's a mediator, he's an intercessor, he's talking to the Father talks to him. Oh yeah, he's not dead or comatose or lying on an altar, face down in the mud or something. Can you listen? Can you really believe there are people who say they hear Brother Branham and listen to that drivel and preach that drivel? Now don't get so high-minded you think you know something or we know something. That's asinine. So we have a choice today. We can be led by God Himself. And be led to God Himself. The one terminology is we can be led by the Holy Spirit Himself to God Himself, which does not make them two different people. No, no, no. Simply lets God fulfill His roles. Yeah. That's all. When He fulfilled the role of perfect Redeemer in Jesus and Reconciler, and no trouble with God, it's people's brains. They can't even read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a man. Who at one time was set on the right hand of the majesty on high, and he's still on the right hand of the majesty on high, only this time he's not on a mercy seat. He's on the throne, and he hasn't changed one bit. Nope. He's still waiting for the Jews to come in, and he will get him in. Oh, yes, my friend. So we have a choice today. We can be led by God Himself, and led to God Himself, or be led by someone else or someone's and miss eternal life. For if you miss Him, who can bring you into eternal life, which simply means, in plain English, not like God Himself, but a part of God in a figure. Which will be glorified flesh. Yeah. And that's all there is. We don't need to miss eternal life, but we do have a choice. How many minutes? All right, we'll read one paragraph so I'll be able to see I read something. Sometime in life here, we have to confront the thing just like this young man did. Now, I wish he'd have slapped him real hard, like the nice bit he said. Sometime you have to confront this same God who stood there in human flesh and now stands again in human flesh. Oh. That would have been like the eagle sweeping over the chicken pen. You'd have seen the roosters and all the hens squawk. I remember I was in a place one day back in 1970, Jack Palmer and me, and there were these three women, Pentecostal. So they knew we were preachers, and they checked us out, and I checked them out, and I wanted to see how the hens would cackle. When I told them all about there is one God. They sort of jumped off the manure pile and hit for cover for a while. But they came back and began to realize that maybe their theology just didn't quite add up. And I didn't wait around to find out. Would be impossible anyway. Sometime in life we have to confront the thing just like this young man did. Now listen, they weren't getting that. Are we getting it? Sometime in life we have to... Now, just a minute now, Brother Branham. Hey, Brother Branham. Now, just you listen. Brother Branham was not going back 6,000 years. He was not going back 2,000 years. He was not going back to 1906 even, when the Pentecostal movement broke out. He wasn't even born in 1906. This generation... This people sitting there and the sound of his voice and the tapes and the books. You, personally, are going to have to confront the pillar of fire, Almighty God, just like this man did. And though he was veiled at that time in human flesh, the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ and William Branham has gone on now. Now he's veiled in the Word completely. And you're going to have to confront it like this young man did, because we are mortal beings. And we are given the opportunity. I don't know where he was. What's this William Branham talking about? Where's God in? What's about that stuff in the clouds and him coming down? Well, in that day, Brother Vail, ignorance will get me by, will it? You didn't know it was a meat grinder when you stuck your hand in and got your hand chawed up. Oh, ignorance got you by, didn't it? You didn't know that you were like that poor African man in Africa who saw a rabbit go down a hole and stuck his hand in to pull the rabbit out. And the snake bit him and he died. Oh, his ignorance should have saved him. Oh, come on. See, brother, sister, listen, please don't argue with me on these things. You have a choice. Brother Branham had a choice. He wanted to make the wrong choice, but God wouldn't let him. You and I have a choice too, and by the grace of God who influenced us. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. God made it so you, who's you? Who are you? Gene of God. Or not a gene of God. You're the soul. Can choose. If he put Adam and Eve on free moral agency so they could choose, and then they made the wrong choice. Now listen, their wrong choice was not like you and I have a wrong choice. Let's get that flat. The book of Romans tells us that. And see, he can do more than he did to them. He got to put you to the same thing as he, so you can choose or reject. Now, ask a question. Adam, we know, had a son, Enos, when he was 130 years old. How old he was with Abel, we don't know, and Seth, we don't know. But the thing is, what I'm looking at is this, that fellow lived to be almost 1,000 years old. Now, what if he'd have been going along just right until the year 999, huh, and he made a wrong choice? Over, right? You see why every tree dies at the end time, gets burned up? Every tree. I don't care if they're right till this hour. I don't care who was right. If at this hour you make that choice which is wrong, as Adam did and Eve, it's over. It's death. The foolish virgin will die. They didn't learn in time. No. They didn't learn. They had to have fresh vessels for oil. The same old goat skin dried out, or calf belly, whatever it was. You put the fermenting wine in there, blow it all apart, won't work. You can't put a new patch on an old garment, won't work. It's all there, see? Now he said, listen, if you gave Adam that choice, now remember, now look at it. He's now comparing the Garden of Eden with his own message, his own ministry, and the messenger, God himself. Huh? God himself. Right? Turned judge. Always was. Brought the word. Rejected. Judged. Brings the word. Rejected. Judge. What about us? Alpha and Omega. As Brother Branham often said, do what you like. He's got to do the same thing. Remember, he said the same one that came down there that botched it is the same one that came here to the result of the botch of the botches. We're under the homosexual privileges we now have today. And I'm 100% against them. I wouldn't abuse them. I wouldn't kill them. But I would not give them any rights at all. I would ostracize every single one. Say, get out of this church. I have nothing to do with you. Now, if everybody goes homosexual, where are the babies going to come from? Well, you got Navratilova. The great homo tennis player. She wants a baby, but she's not going to know a man. Interesting. She's going to bear a baboon or something? That's not a joking matter. The fact of the matter is she's got to get a germ somewhere. She's going to have to milk a male somewhere from the sperm bank, maybe. So I'm trying to tell you. There's going to be a time when they ain't even human to make a choice. And they're that way already. Mendel's Law. That's a good thing came out of the Catholic Church that monk proved. You know, mutation, selection of genes. And the dominant always wins. And the serpent was a mighty big fella. And so was Cain, and so was his progeny. The dominant factor is running today. You better believe a serpent seed, because God is not going to destroy even his foolish virgin. They get killed. As far as I know the scripture, I could be wrong, but I doubt very much. Even 144,000. Now, I don't even want to think of this, but when you're changed, your thinking changes. If you and I have a part of coming with him upon those horses, and we're going to be a part of the extermination, you give me one reason why the death penalty is not in effect right now. Give me one reason why a man can rape a woman and not pay death penalty. Give me one reason. Say, Brother Bill, what if you then kill me? I deserve it. What if your son kill him? He asked for it. What about my kids? Kill them, they asked for it. Say, oh, Brother Bill, don't Brother Bill me. You got a different book from what I got. Fire will soon take the whole thing over, thank God. By his grace, may we be out of here, I don't know. Well, next Saturday, we'll read it again, start in. Many times you can't hear these preambles too often, because they're the parts that I feel I get from God, from this word here, that I want to pass on to you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, under thy great and holy name and thy great and wonderful self, through the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, our man that was is on that throne up there, we give you back to your word, trusting that in any way, shape, and form, anything is mispronounced, misrepresented, missaid anyway, forgive us, we pray in Jesus' name. And correct us by this own word of yours, O God. Not by your divine intervention, as though we have to have something special ourselves. No, 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 no. We have the word of the prophet and your word here, and your Holy Spirit to help us and guide us into all truth and keep us firm in the faith. We thank you, Lord, for your help today. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, their Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.